The following is a 1500 ESPN Twin Cities production.
Raised on basketball. Raised in front of a computer screen. Raised for covering the game. Raised by Wolves. Now, talking all things Timberwolves with beat writer Derek James, here's Benny Hill with the Raised by Wolves podcast.
We are the Raised by Wolves podcast, and the NBA season is officially in the books. It is behind us. The Warriors, as I think a lot of people expected, are NBA champs. They took care of the Cavaliers in Game 5.
Those scrappy underdogs.
Yeah, those scrappy underdog Cavs, man.
They just sure gutted it out.
Yeah, boy. It was kind of funny, like, everybody kept saying, well, LeBron has no help. He has help. It just, the Cavaliers ran into a buzzsaw. Like, the Warriors are unlike any other team that we've seen in the history of the NBA. And
you know, I saw something from ESPN Stats and Info, and I forget which metric it was by, but it was essentially that Jordan has never faced teams as difficult as LeBron's. And that in, also in six of his finals, LeBron's been the underdog.
Yeah.
Which is just ridiculous.
Six out of eight.
Yeah, six out of eight. That's a lot.
Right. And the only
He's still 2-4.
Yeah. The only one that you can really look at that LeBron has lost was and give him crap for was, again, like we talked about last week, was 2011 when they lost to Dallas. I mean, that, you know, and just because he did not play well at all in that series. So, you know, nonetheless, the Warriors are champs. They're second in third years, and they're second in 3 years, and we'll tip our hat to them. So now we start the off season, and
we still don't even know who the MVP is yet. How stupid is this?
Isn't that dumb?
Like, I don't even care at this point, really.
Yeah, I'm so over the MVP conversation. It's like, you know what? If it's Russ, great. I think it should be Russ. If it's not, I don't care.
Well, that's the problem. They've gone so long between it. I mean, towards the end of the season, heading into the playoffs, it was, is it Russ? Is it Harden? Oh, what about Kawhi? Should LeBron be in the mix? Like, there was all this discussion and this hype and this excitement, and then the NBA kills it by making us wait a month and a half. It's like, come on, can we not do this again? Just because you can monetize it by having an award show on TNT and have everyone, I don't know, it's ridiculous.
And I don't want to watch Drake host
you know, they didn't call anybody else for that, right?
I know, he was the only option.
Oh wait, they probably called Kevin Hart, because apparently everyone loves Kevin Hart.
I think Kevin Hart would be pretty good, because he's funny and people within the NBA, they like him and all that stuff. But anyway, the off season is here now, and we're a week away, exactly a week away at the time of this taping.
Next week we'll be taping down at Target Center.
Yeah, that's right. We'll be taping at Target Center. We're taping
instant
after
reaction.
We're gonna tape after the Wolves make or trade, perhaps, their first round pick, the seventh pick in the draft. We solicited some questions on Twitter, and we got quite a few this week, actually, from people just about all sorts of Wolves-related questions.
You know, we do that once every 3 months. It seems like there's a lot more pent-up demand than when we do it every few weeks.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, because it was funny. We were, you know, you and I were texting back and forth this morning, and we were like, you know, we haven't asked for any questions from our listeners in a while, and sure enough, we put the question out there, and here they go. So let's just run through these here really quickly. I'm going back on my notifications here. From James, he goes, who should the Wolves be looking to draft, wing or point guard? How can Wolves bolster their bench without overspending? Should there be panic if there's no playoffs next season? Let's start with that last question. I guess it would depend on the definition of panic, right?
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, Cleveland's probably going to be aggressive this summer, but would you call that a panic? I don't know. I mean, because it really depends on how they miss the playoffs.
Yeah.
If everyone else wins 50 games and you're shut out at 48, I mean, right. Are you really going to be that upset?
Right.
I mean, maybe a little disappointed, but you're like, well, dang, everyone was just that much better than us.
Because I don't think you, if they miss the playoffs, I mean, what are you going to do? You're going to blow everything up. I mean, you're going to trade Towns and Wiggins and Levine, and you just, I mean, so I feel
like this team is so fluid right now in the roster that yeah. We don't know what their cap situation is ultimately going to look like going into next year, you know, after the yeah. Wiggins and Levine extensions, and obviously assuming Levine gets his too. And then really, I mean, we'll figure Towns in there too, but I think it's what we see them do. I mean, if the consensus is that they have a good summer, they bring in, you know, some more talent, some more reliable veterans and everything, and they look like they should be in a good position. Granted, the games aren't played on paper.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think that would change how you would look at them missing the playoffs at that yeah. point.
Yeah, and I mean, I think it should be fair to expect playoffs going into next year.
Yep. I know we felt completely opposite last offseason.
Right, but I think after a year with Tom Thibodeau and going into year two now, most of these guys they've got a year of the system and the, you know, the defensive scheme under their belt now. I think it's very reasonable, very fair to expect playoffs next year.
But I think guys, too, know what's expected of them now.
Right.
You know, they know the plan. They know the direction that the team wants to go in, hopefully. That's been communicated well. And, yeah, we should expect much better things from them next season.
I guess we'll kind of work backwards on James's questions. The other one he had was, how can the Wolves bolster their bench without overspending?
Maybe you can't.
Yeah.
Or you just nail it in the draft.
Yeah. I mean, because the thing of it is you're not going to be able to, I mean, they played last offseason in terms of free agency. They played it very conservatively. They didn't go out and spend, you know, we saw this big spike in the salary cap, and they didn't go out and really overindulge in how much space that they had.
They played it pretty close to the vest.
Yeah, they really did. This year, I think the free agent class tends to be a little better this year than what it was last year.
Yeah.
So I don't think we're going to see, you know, a Timofey Mozgov type guy getting a $65 million contract. Hopefully we don't see that. Hopefully nobody's dumb enough to do that again. But I think they're going to have to, they figure to have what, about 30 million?
Somewhere around there. I haven't done the math in a while, but yeah, somewhere. It's a good amount of cap space.
They're going to have to spend.
They could max Steph Curry. Wanna...
Yeah, just give Steph a $30 million a year contract. And
that would solve the point guard problem right there.
It probably would. Yeah, I mean, I figured you're probably going to have to, one, just because you're a team that doesn't, you don't have a whole lot of equity in terms of competing in your, you know, in your back pocket. Mm-hmm. So you can't really sell, hey, we're on the cusp of going to the Western Conference Finals.
When you won two more games than you did the last season.
Right. So you can't really sell that to free agents. I mean, you're going to have to sell your young core and, you know, what, you know, you can maybe try and sell that the fact that you're getting, you know, essentially kind of a new facility with all the renovations to Target Center going on this summer. I mean, you're going to have to sell yourself
and your exciting talent.
Yeah, absolutely.
I remember Damian Lillard tweeted out today. Someone asked him, you know, where'd you go if you weren't with Portland, you're a free agent. He said, you know, if the Blazers didn't want me back, I would want to go to Utah or the Lakers. And I mean, Utah is what really sticks out there because probably who didn't grow up like wanting to play in LA? Whatever, that's fine. But right. Utah is the one that sticks out because that's traditionally not an NBA free agent market.
Mm-hmm.
And I know the Undefeated, I forget who wrote it. It's a really good piece about being a black player and playing in Utah and just what that's like and just how much that's kind of changed so much in the perception of Utah. And I think that really goes to show that. So anyway, where I'm going with this is if Utah can do that, why couldn't Minnesota do that?
Right.
Obviously, Utah's had more success and the league has been able to see where they're going. They've seen it actually, their success play out.
Mm-hmm.
And I think one way they could actually affordably upgrade the bench without having to overspend too much would be just to add enough talent where Gorgui Dieng is your backup 4 or 5, whatever you want him to be.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, in additions like that. I mean, so you have your fixed costs that you have now that are on good deals. You go out, you spend some money in free agency like you should, because, I mean, as we've said before, this is their last summer to really spend money.
Yeah.
So I think that could be a good way to go if they look at it that way, rather than just add, you know, two power forwards and, you know, and just create a logjam that way.
Yeah, because it doesn't, I mean, we've talked about this before. You can make your bench better by adding somebody to be, you know, by adding a starter and moving someone to your bench, moving one of your, you know, your basic five starters.
To where outsiders go, oh, that's not fair.
Right. Yeah. So if you add a power forward that's good enough to move Gorgui Dieng to being your first big off the bench, guess what? You've made your bench better.
And then Bielitsa is your third, fourth big off the bench. I think that's ideal.
Right.
I think the further down you get to Bielitsa, who can be a fine player. I mean, he played well for, I think, like a total of 3 weeks this season. But if he can sustain that, I mean, I think they'd be in a good spot having him, you know, farther down the rotation or whatever the relevant, I don't know what I'm saying there.
James also asks, and actually Max asked a very similar question, who should the Wolves be looking to draft, a wing or a point guard? I tend to think if you're at seven, I tend to think you just go best player available.
That's the thing. I don't think they can really screw it up too much, and I'm sure we're going to get to Max's question next, which carries on to this. I don't think they can really screw it up. I just think you go best player available. I mean, they need front court help. They need shooting, and chances are you're going to find that on the wing. And, I mean, Draft Express today has Malik Monk all the way going to eighth to the Knicks.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if he really does slide like that, I mean, shooting would be a nice get there. I mean, we can go in further into Malik Monk, but, I mean, shooting is definitely something that's appealing. You know, whether that's a point guard, I don't know that they would take another point guard at this point just because they invested the number five pick last summer in Chris Dunn.
Right.
And it's very rare to see a coach swallow his pride on his first round pick and cut ties with that. Now, unless he says, Chris, you're strictly going to be a wing defender. I don't even care that you can't play point guard. You're just going to go out there. You'll handle the ball sometimes, but we're really not going to look at you like a point guard. Then it might make sense to bring in another point guard, but then how do you look at it? And finding minutes for, you know, Wiggins, Levine, Shabazz if he comes back. And then where do you play Tyus, Ricky? I mean, this is kind of getting kind of the dogmatic traditional NBA positions.
Right.
But they have to play somewhere. And you can only run, you know, two-point guard lineups some of the time. You can't play them there all the time. So I think it would require a little bit of gymnastics, but I think that's one thing. You take the best talent available and you figure out the fit later.
Max says a lot of great options at seven, but who's the one guy you don't want the Wolves to take? I don't know if there's really anybody within this, you know, within this sort of five to that's projected within this 5 to 15 range, I guess, that
I do have a preference. I wouldn't be upset about it. I like Lauri Markkanen shooting. I mean, that's obviously very attractive, and it seems like a very modern big man in that sense.
Yep.
But his defense is bad.
Yes, it is.
I didn't watch a ton of Arizona, but the games I did watch, it was glaring, his efficiencies.
And a lot of it just looked like he just didn't know what he was doing. Like, he just didn't – he just looked lost on defense.
Right,
completely.
Like, he had been able to get away with being 7'1" on the court his, you know, up to that point.
Right.
And, I mean, we saw in the Xavier game, and I've mentioned this before, how – Xavier stretched out Arizona. They stretched him out of the post, and he couldn't close out.
Mm-hmm.
And he gave up a lot of easy points. So I think that's the concern you have there. So unless Towns develops into, you know, a real interior defender, it's going to be a struggle with Markkanen. And I don't know how much he would see the floor and how much value he would add to this team with Tom Thibodeau if Thibodeau, you know, wouldn't play him enough because of his defense. And granted, I have no idea if that would be the case, but you would assume that this team is going to look to make a run to the playoffs. And you just cannot have lackluster defensive players like that on the floor for extended periods of time. It just kills you.
Yeah, I don't. I just don't know if there's anybody that I see that's just like, oh my God, please don't take that guy. I mean, if they take Markkanen, it is kind of one of those situations where it's like, okay,
but it's fine.
Yeah, it's like, okay, you take him. I can see why I understand why you took him, but just beware that the defense is kind of an issue.
Who did you mention? I'm forgetting how to pronounce his name. Oh, gosh. This is just good podcast right here. Oh, yeah. Og Anunoby?
OJ Anunoby from Indiana.
Yeah, I saw... I mean, what, he's coming off an ACL injury.
Yeah, Gabby asked us actually that question. He asked us, is 7 too early to draft him? I'm assuming Isaac, talking about Jonathan Isaac, is gone and no legit option to trade down, if not him. If not, Anunoby, who do you like? Well, number one, yes, 7 is too high to take him. Draft Express actually has him going 22 to the Nets.
And I think he's dropped because I thought he was late lottery before.
Yeah, he's kind of gone up and down. I think like right after the college basketball season ended, I think he was actually in this like early second round. And I think he shot up a lot of people's boards. And then now he's kind of falling back a little bit again.
Coming off the ACL,
right.
But that's not as big of a problem, which obviously makes him a big Sixers target, especially if he can't start by next year.
Right. Yeah, my concern with him is the ACL, and it's, I think he's very limited offensively. Mm-hmm. His defense, I watched him at Indiana, he will guard you. That's the one thing I do like about him, is that he will defend.
This is going to sound like such a lazy comparison. Kind of like a Luke Mbamute.
Yeah.
Not going to give you a ton offensively, but you know that he's not going to have a problem with his defensive assignment.
Right, yeah.
Maybe like a Tony Allen too, but I think he's a bigger guy than Tony Allen.
Right, he doesn't really have a defined position. You know, he can play the 3 and the 4, which is not necessarily a bad thing.
What's his weight?
They've got him listed at 215. Draft Express has him listed at 215.
I mean, that's probably too small to play him at the 4 out of the
box.
I
thought he was a little bit bigger than that. But
that 7'2" wingspan,
yeah,
is legit.
Yes. Like, defensively, I think, you know, he can help you defensively. I think he's going to be a pretty good defensive player, but you just worry about he can't shoot, like, at all.
Like, this isn't hockey. You don't have like line changes or anything like that. You don't have you don't have defensemen. You need, you know, ideally now in the NBA, you need as many two-way players as possible.
Right.
And for the Timberwolves, I think they need that sooner rather than later, since, again, like, their goal is probably to make the playoffs next season. And I think that helps you more than someone who's just, you know, strictly a one-way defensive player who doesn't add much offensively because they don't have enough offense around them as it is.
Right.
I mean, it's Wiggins, Towns, LaVine, and praying that someone else gets hot.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, if you're in a position like I think if you're the Nets and he's there at 22, then yeah,
the Nets,
sure,
don't get to be picky.
Yeah, the Nets don't get to be picky at that point. So yeah, go ahead and take him. But yeah, definitely, I think 7 is definitely too high for Mr. Anunoby.
Can we handle Jake's question quick?
Would you move number 7? Jake Watroba asks, would you move number 7 to the Nuggets for Kenneth Faried and number 13? I would not.
No.
I would not.
It's a good question and a good idea that hasn't come up a lot. So I do appreciate the creativity. It's not a Jimmy Butler question or another one that we've gotten a lot and that has been discussed.
And in terms of, you know, it's not one of those like crazy unbalanced deals. You know what I mean? It's not, hey, we'll give you a Ricky and a second round pick for Jimmy Butler type thing. You know, it's a fairly balanced trade. I just don't think Kenneth Faried does much for me in terms of just helping this team, aside from he'll help with rebounding.
Well, and here's the problem with Faried from what I've heard from my Nuggets media friends who cover the Nuggets, who are around the team. Faried wants to start. He sees himself as a starter. Mm-hmm. So even though he's a little bit undersized, despite his freakish athleticism, he's incredibly athletic. He can rebound, which this team does need. But he sees himself as a starter.
And he's not good enough defensively to going around making demands of being a starter. And
that's the problem. You don't want that kind of attitude in the locker room with that. I mean, because you do, I think on a successful team, you do have to have guys who just accept their roles. Mm-hmm. Like Andre Iguodala didn't go down to Golden State and say, who's Klay Thompson? I've been around the league for a long time. I'm an all-star. I need more touches than him. Yeah. Like, that's not happening. Iguodala graciously accepted the six-man role, made a bunch of jokes about it, which was kind of good to see, and it's helped the Warriors out. And you need guys, veterans, who are going to accept those roles, and I think Free does have some experience that he could offer. His contract isn't bad, but I think just as a fit, I just don't see it.
All right.
Oh, Nick had a good one.
Yeah. Nick Walby, why isn't Minnesota getting considered for big-name players to join and make a, and in quotes, he put, super team, one of the best young cores in the NBA and cap flexibility? Is it just that it's Minnesota and thus small market, no money from off the court deals, or not enough assets to land the stars to begin with? I forgot they have a league-wide, well-respected coach as well.
They haven't won anything.
Yeah, I haven't done anything. And I mean, look, a part of the reason why the Warriors were able to land Kevin Durant, aside from being sort of lucky with Steph Curry's contract and having the cap space to get Durant, was they had just won the championship, you know, a year before. And they had some equity of built up of postseason success, and that was able to lure Durant there. I mean, the Wolves don't have that right now, so you're not, it would be hard for them to, you know, after next season, if, you know, Paul George becomes a free agent, it's going to be hard to lure Paul George in because
he just came from basketball purgatory himself.
Right, exactly.
Well, look at the Miami Heat team, you know, the super team. I'm sure you've all heard of them. In 2010, they went to Miami. Miami had won a title instead of Super Bowl 4 years before.
Yeah.
4 or 5 years before. So they had that proven track record of success.
And they had been a playoff. They hadn't been as great the previous couple of years, but they were a playoff team.
One of those, Wade was hurt, and that killed them.
Right.
I mean, Wade in his prime added 40 wins to a team. It was ridiculous. But they had an established culture. Players know this. Players talk. Minnesota does not have that reputation. San Antonio can go out and get veterans to take discounts and pay cuts because they're the Spurs. They've had success for 25 years aside from David Robinson freakishly getting hurt. Like, you just have to prove it. And I think that once they do, they can start adding pieces. The unfortunate thing is, as they become more successful, and as we've mentioned, their cap situation is going to change dramatically, it's going to be tougher to make those additions.
Right.
But I think in terms of keeping players, that's going to go a long way. And showing people that there's, you know, value to staying in Minnesota. There's something that benefits them. And I think once that Target Center is renovated, it's a more modern arena. And that the training facility is excellent. Mayo Clinic Square is beautiful. But, I mean, now, I mean, the players in the locker room now talk about how there's no fan presence right now. I mean, that's the team's fault.
Yeah,
but it is absolutely noticeable that there is a lack of a presence in Target Center. You don't feel that. They go into other buildings, they hear the other team's fans, and they go, well, we don't get this. I mean, every once in a while, I mean, if they're, and they play well typically at home against the Clevelands, the Golden States, and the fans get into it. They can see that it's there, but it's not consistent.
And the only way it's going to be consistent is if you got to win more. You got to.
Everything just comes back to winning.
Yeah, you need to. That's why making the playoffs next year is kind of an expectation, and that's why, you know, it can go a long way if you can get into the playoffs next year.
And with that, I don't even think there's a reason that would be acceptable for them to miss it. That would enhance that. So I think even if they won 45 games that made the playoffs, it would still be, yeah, but they didn't make the playoffs.
Yeah.
Which is incredibly binary and unfair, but it's what it is.
But I think I do think we're long past, especially with the NBA and with the NFL too, I think we're long past the, I'm not going to sign with Minnesota because it's too cold. I think we're past that sort of reputation type thing.
You're on the road half the season.
Yeah, it's a winter sport.
Off season.
Yeah, so I don't think, like, I don't think the cold weather is going to, you know, deter anybody away from signing here.
I mean, if it's between them and Miami, they might think about it, but there are other reasons to sign in Florida versus Minnesota.
Warm weather,
better tax situation.
Yeah, better tax situation. Yeah. That guy, Nick, wants to know, are the Wolves going big or guard? I think we need a big. We've got true leadership in Ricky.
I mean, for now.
Yeah.
Realistically,
Ricky is the constant wild card. I mean, he's always been the subject of trade discussions, and we just never really know what his future is. And we still don't know if he's going to be. My guess is that he's probably going to be on the team at the start of next season, but I mean, we just don't know. I mean, he might get moved on draft night if they find a deal. You know, maybe they package him in the seventh pick for something. I don't know.
I mean, the Timberwolves, Tom Thibodeau has taken every opportunity he can to shop him around when he's had a window.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm sure we'll hear some conversation again. But as far as bigger guard, I mean, it just depends on who slips. I mean, if Monk slips, I think that could be the move there. You know, maybe they do value Dennis Smith highly. I know Lauri Markkanen's been in, I think, twice now.
Mm-hmm.
Jonathan Isaac refuses to work out for anyone who is picking after fourth.
Yep. So unless you're the Celtics, Lakers, Sixers, or Suns, he's not working out for you.
Yep, exactly. So, I mean, if, let's say, Orlando or Phoenix takes Isaac, I mean, that could have a trickle-down effect if, you know, Tatum or Fox slip down a little farther, although I wouldn't see Fox getting past Orlando, who I don't think they're married to Elfrid Payton anymore, especially since Frank Vogel and the new GM. I mean, that's not their guy. And so I wouldn't be surprised if they took a point guard. Orlando's really the wild card there because they can take just about anybody.
Yeah.
They've been rebuilding for about 5 years and they have nothing that is really nailed down.
There will be no, like, there's like no wrong direction for Orlando to go with the sixth pick.
They need basketball players and the good ones in particular.
Yeah. And they need, whoever they take needs to work out because they just,
they can't keep missing. I mean, Victor Oladipo might have been their best draft pick in years and they shipped him out for Serge Ibaka, who they later flipped for Terrence Ross in a first.
Oh, God. What the hell were they thinking?
This is bad process all the way around.
Grief. Ryan Rand wants to know, what kind of players could we get if Tibbs decides to trade the pick?
Hopefully good ones.
Yeah.
That's what I would like.
We've been texting back and forth about this for weeks. Like, if you're going to move the pick, which I think, My guess is that they have a strong interest in moving the pick.
Because I don't think they're wild about another teenager.
Yeah, I don't think they want another 19-year-old on the roster. Although I wouldn't have a problem with it because I think when you're trying to build something long term, you know, you're trying to get somebody who's going to be here for a while and that's going to kind of grow into what you're doing. But if they do move the pick, I mean, like you said, hopefully a good player.
I would hope they would target a veteran.
Yeah.
I mean, like we've said before, I mean, you figure that they know the needs that they have, and if they don't feel that the draft is the best way to address those, and they're not certain what they could get for positionally and talent in the free agent market, I think, gosh, anyone. I mean, like we said, they need front court help. Mm-hmm. You know, better wing players, more small forward depth. I think veteran leadership is a big thing. I don't really care who they get. I mean, if they can find someone who can play a Tayshaun Prince, Kevin Garnett role, maybe not so, you know, psychopathically as KG, but someone who can really be that stabilizing force. They're Joe Johnson. Like I mentioned Utah several times in the playoffs. When things started to get away from the Jazz, they gave the ball to Joe Johnson. Joe ran the offense, got everyone settled, kept things in control, and they eventually won that series.
Yeah.
And I just look at that, it's like, man, the Timberwolves could have used that as they were, you know, whittling away leads left and right early in the season.
If they can make a move like what the Warriors did to get Andre Iguodala, because they got him in a trade, right? Because he was already under contract when he was still with Denver, right? Was he a free agent?
He was a free agent. He was about to sign in Detroit, and then
not quite the 11th hour,
he took the Warriors offer instead of Detroit.
That's right. Because,
which, wow, that is a big what if.
Yeah, that's right, because because I remember actually wanting the Wolves to go after him in free agency, and they wouldn't.
I don't think they had a shot at him, to be honest.
Yeah, that's true. I'm trying to think of somebody that, because what I don't want is for them to move the pick for somebody who's like you brought up Joe Johnson. Somebody like Joe Johnson would be perfect. I just don't want them to be Joe Johnson's age.
Right.
You know what I mean? I don't want them to be like 36.
And I don't think you want to, you would take a 29-year-old who is in his prime, talented still, could still produce.
Right.
But I don't think that would be the preference. The problem is finding young and upcoming players in their mid-20s is difficult. Like, you're not going to find Chris Middleton on the trade market every year.
Right.
I mean, that's usually just a team who may not know exactly what they have in a player and cuts bait too early. And that rarely happens. I mean, so maybe, I don't know if relying on that is any good.
Right.
I mean, what if they, I mean, gosh, Philly has, I don't think know if you'd be excited about trading your first for him. You'd probably just see what the rest of the deal would look like. What if they get like Robert Covington? Or is Covington a free agent or a restricted?
I think he's a restricted free agent.
Okay, so that's on him.
Or no, I think they have like an option on, well, no, wait a minute. I'd have to look.
But a guy like that.
I like Robert Covington. I actually like him a lot.
He can hit shots.
He can hit threes for you. He's a good defender. He's long and athletic, you know, to use David Kahn terms.
That phrase is forever tarnished.
I know. But, yeah, no, I like Robert Covington. I just don't know, would Philly, they'd part with him for the seventh pick, wouldn't they? I would think so.
I just don't know how good that is for the Wolves.
Right. You'd probably want a little
more. How much
more.
Better is Robert Covington going to get? I mean, like I said, you have to see what the rest of the deal would look like.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if there was a third team in there that could give more value, I don't know.
Yeah, because you'd probably want him and something else, ideally.
Yeah, but it's not like they can trade future first at this point.
Right.
Kind of tricky.
Yeah. Eric sent us an idea.
I love this idea.
This would be fun. I did think this was going to be fun.
You know what's bad? I could think of all the bad ones off the top of my head. I should have researched the good ones.
Yeah. But yeah, he basically tweeted at us top five, an idea for the podcast, top five best and worst Wolves draft picks and moves.
Should we start with the good?
Sure. It'll go quick, I think.
Yeah. I don't even think I really finished the list because a lot of it's up for debate. And maybe that'll probably make for a better episode anyway. Number one, obviously drafting KG.
Yes.
That was obviously the one. I don't know. I'll just name five. We just do five good things. I don't like ranking things because I think I suck at them. And then someone's going to be like, how could you have this above that? And it's like, I don't really care.
How could you forget about this?
Yeah. The Kevin Love trade on draft night.
Yes.
The Wolves sent out Antoine Walker, Marco Yarich, Greg Buchner, and O.J. Mayo.
Forget Greg Buchner. And got back for the Wolves.
Kevin Love, Mike Miller, Brian Cardinal, and Jason Collins. Like, that was a heist. That was Kevin McHale's swan song.
Mm-hmm.
And it was beautiful. Arguably the best trade in Timberwolves history.
Yeah.
Number three, drafting Towns. And then I couldn't decide. How do you feel about Roy versus Foy, knowing how Brandon Roy's career played out? Would you have taken 3-4 great Brandon Roy seasons and have it end the way that it did? Or Randy Foy?
Well, if Brandon Roy, if they would have stuck with Roy, you know, and just taken him and not traded him, I don't think KG gets traded to Boston.
I don't think they're in a position to even think to ask KG.
Right. Because I think, because Brandon Roy was, because he won Rookie of the Year, didn't he, in 07?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you take the guy who ends up being the Rookie of the Year, you're less inclined, I think, to move Kevin Garnett.
I think that ruins KG's career, too, because then he probably doesn't get a ring.
Doesn't get a ring.
Because then Ray Allen still goes to Boston. Boston's still pretty good.
Yeah.
Maybe they make some other move, but they're not as dominant as they wound up being.
Yeah.
Okay, the more I talk about that, that one's not a good one. That's bad. What are some other good ones? I was really trying to rack my brain. I mean, Marbury for Allen kind of worked out for a little bit, but Ray Allen's a Hall of Famer, retired as the greatest shooter at the time.
Right, and we got like 2.5 fun years with Marbury. I think how about this? How about the trading of Mike Miller and Randy Foy?
Oh, I didn't know if that something counted. Else to, but that is a draft-related trade.
Yeah.
That's good.
To Washington for the fifth pick, which ended up being Ricky Rubio.
Yep.
I mean, that was a heist.
That was. There are some people who are like, oh, gosh, that trade was so bad. But Mike Miller wasn't Mike Miller here. Mm-mm. It was just not a good fit.
They weren't using him the right way. And Yeah.
I think Randy Foy got a little bit better and a little more consistent once he left, once he wasn't in a featured role. But the problem is the Timberwolves, I think, as long as he was always their draft pick, they were always going to play him.
The Randy Foy thing is so interesting because he's still in the league.
Right.
He's still in the league.
Like, he's a good... I would take him back in a second, actually.
Oh, sure.
I wouldn't even think twice about it.
So those are good ones.
We got four.
We got four. I'm trying to think if there's one more.
There really aren't a ton. I mean, the early flip drafts were not good. I mean, they didn't screw up things like, you know, Leitner or Ryder, really. I mean, they did what they could.
How about LaVine?
Yeah.
At 13?
Or the Shabazz and Gorgie trade for Trey Burke. Actually, I would absolutely put that on the list.
Mm-hmm. The only problem is the next pick was C.J. McCollum.
Yeah, well, that's not...
After Trey Burke.
We don't have to talk about that.
And the next pick after Shabazz was Giannis.
Well, at least they didn't pick Giannis, but he was certainly on the board, so that's true.
Yeah.
Okay, but that was a better reality than having Trey Burke.
It was. And everybody, I remember, everybody was pretty upset because Trey Burke had this big run with Michigan to the national championship game, and he was playing great. And everyone was like, oh, did you trade Trey Burke? And
oh, no, and it was who they traded him for. They were upset about Shabazz.
Right, yeah.
People were like, oh, he's gonna ruin everything and this or that. And I was like, guys, he's a rookie. Rick Adelman is not giving a rookie the keys to the offense. Like, what are you, nuts? And he didn't play for the first 3 months of the season.
Well, and on top of that, people were like, I remember hearing people calling to radio shows and saying, well, you can play Rubio and you can play Rubio and Burke together and just have Rubio guard shooting guards.
Ooh.
Okay, wait a second. I just remember thinking, okay, are these the same people that were mad at David Kahn when he said that he thought Ricky Rubio and Johnny Flynn could play together? Because everybody was ripped, and rightfully so.
I'd rather try that.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Could you imagine if that had actually been, like, if they would have tried that?
Dear Lord. Oh, gosh. That was horrible.
Bad. Oh, man.
Okay. So, as far as bad picks and bad trades, I mean, we could...
we could be
right. How much time do we have? Like,
how long do y'all want to listen?
let's just rattle off some. Well... Johnny Flynn, obviously, is probably the first one that comes to everybody's mind.
I think the bad process that led to not picking Curry and Cousins because they did not work out here.
Mm-hmm.
The inmates do not run the asylum. If they're your best player available, you draft them and they play. That's the way it is.
Yeah.
And if they don't want to play for you, I mean, you deal with that and you figure it out in a few years. But you at least have time to figure that out.
Oh, God, David. Was so bad.
I'm pulling up the 2011 draft, so take your time.
Think about the players that they whiffed on from 2009 to 2011 in those three straight drafts. So you're talking, okay, Flynn, we just mentioned with Steph Curry sitting there and going with the next pick.
And whatever, I don't think Steph Curry is the same player here, but regardless, at least he was still in the league 4 years later.
And the thing of it is, Derek, they didn't miss on in these drafts. They didn't miss on one guy. They whiffed on two people. Like they passed on two people.
Oh,
forget about Steph Curry. Everybody talks about Steph Curry in 2009. DeMar DeRozan went three picks later.
Yep.
You know, okay, 2010. You take Wes Johnson
over DeMarcus Cousins.
Paul George goes 10. Now, to be fair, Paul George, I don't think a lot of people had Paul George going in the top five at that time.
Kawhi was still on the, or was he after?
Kawhi was in 2011.
Okay. Oh, can we go to 2011?
2011 was Klay Thompson and Kawhi. Yeah, I know.
Derek Williams was taken the second pick, which everyone would have done.
Yes.
Anyone picking second.
He was
second.
Number two on everybody's board. Yes.
But the Timberwolves also had the rights at various points to Donatas Mata-Unis, who was flipped with Johnny Flynn and a second round draft pick. Who eventually became Will Barton. Will Barton's good.
Yep.
To Houston for Brad Miller, who played garbage time. Nikola Mirotic, who is, I don't really care about Nikola. He's fine. Chandler Parsons, who was very good for a long time and now might never see the court again. And the Wolves got a 2013 first round pick, which was later used on Andre Roberson, who the Timberwolves traded to Golden State.
Or Oklahoma City.
No, it was Golden State. Then it said Golden State.
So how did he end up in Oklahoma
City? I think Golden State traded him, from what I saw in Basketball Reference earlier. But, and I'm not done yet. I'm about halfway through this torture show. Nikola Mirotic to the Bulls for Norris Cole. Hey, that would have been a solid one to have for a little bit. Malcolm Lee and cash. They gave Malcolm Lee a guaranteed deal for a second round pick that they did not have to do. And he barely played. He could not stay healthy.
These were all con moves, right?
Yes.
Oh, God.
Bojan Bogdanovic, they had. And then they traded him to New Jersey for cash and a 2013 second round pick, which they later used on Lorenzo Brown, who has struggled to stay in the NBA for the last 6 years. And they traded Chandler Parsons to the Rockets for Manny. What did they trade him for?
Cash.
Yeah. Right?
Because he needed to
pay Rambis' buyout.
Oh, my God. That is, like, when I've told people that David Kahn is the worst GM in the history of sports, not just the NBA, sports, people who don't, like, follow the Wolves and they don't, well, really, it can't be that bad. It's like, no, yes, it was that bad.
Here's one I forgot about. They traded a 2012 first-round pick, which later became Terrence Jones, in exchange for Chase Budinger and Lior Ilaiyahu.
And that pick they only got because that was the pick that Utah owed them for the Al Jefferson trade.
Yes,
right?
Correct.
Because I remember they were the last game of the season. I'll never forget. The last game of that season, the Jazz were playing the Suns, and the winner of that game, the last game of the season, the winner of that game was going to get the eighth spot. And everybody was rooting for the Jazz to win so that because the pick was lottery protected.
Yep.
And so everybody was rooting for Utah to make the playoffs so the Wolves would have a first-round pick. God. And then they got the pick, and then they had traded it for a guy who, like, played maybe 50 games in, what, 2 years with the Wolves total? How many games did Chase Budinger end up playing?
He played more than 50. He stuck around for three, I think almost four seasons.
Because Kahn gave him a four-year contract, right?
Yeah, he played all four.
Did he play out all four?
I thought he played it out. Maybe he didn't. Mm-hmm. I think he got... Yeah, no, he signed with Indiana. Didn't really do much there. Because he wasn't traded to Indiana.
No.
So he must have played it out. But I feel like he could have been traded.
No, he was traded because he was traded for... what was his name? Damian Rudez or whatever his name
was. Yes, that's right.
Yeah, they got him for...
Who was always ready and warmed up.
And he's like... I think he's in Orlando now or something, maybe. Rudez.
No, I mean, he was like... He was already in late... He was 29 when they got him. But I mean, Budinger got hurt and that changed a lot, but he just couldn't shoot even when he was healthy. And it just seems like there's something in Target Center where three-point specialists just cannot shoot in Target Center. I mean, unless you're Damian Lillard or opposing point guard X. I mean, there's just so many of them. I mean, they didn't get anything out of Paul Grant.
Oh, God.
Does the Joe Smith debacle count? Because that was really damning.
That wasn't really a move. That was... I mean, they just tried.
That was kind of the consequence. Okay.
Yeah. Right. They signed him to an illegal contract. And I mean, it wasn't a trade or, you know, a draft pick or anything. They cost them three first round picks down the line. But,
well, the gymnastics that led to, when they drafted Bobby Jones in 06, this one isn't on the list, but they drafted Bobby Jones, traded him to the Sixers for cash in his 2007 second round pick, which is Chris Richard.
I remember Chris Richard. He was on the Florida. He won a national championship with Corey Brewer and company at Florida.
Yep. And so they had Brewer and Richard at the same time. But I mean, if you just go through some of the earlier ones, I mean, they just had a lot of terrible lottery luck too.
Yeah.
I mean, whether it was missing out on Zoe or Shaq.
I always made the joke. I made the joke to Royce the other day about that even if the Wolves had gotten the number one pick, they still would have taken Leitner at that time. Just because it's the Wolves and the history and everything. But gosh, man.
Well, hey, if we can count the...
What a franchise, man.
The Miller and...
God, I love them, though.
The Mike Miller trade that got them... The Foy and Miller trade that got them the Rubio pick.
Mm-hmm.
So a day after the 03 draft, they did trade Peeler and Joe Smith to the Bucks for Sam Cassell and Irvin Johnson.
'04
does not happen without either of those guys in that trade.
Again, yeah, they got them to the Western Conference Finals. Yeah.
There's just so much.
That was a good move by McHale to get those guys. I mean, it fizzled out after a year, but
McHale was either brilliant or terrible.
Yeah.
And a lot of his awfulness was too in the signings, and I think not.
McHale's biggest flaw was that he didn't value first round picks. Like once he had Garnett, he had his franchise player. I think from that point on, he never valued first round picks,
which is good because they didn't have them for a lot of the years.
Yeah. I mean, the ones that they had, they just.
I'm looking at it. Igor Rakosevic, Lauren Woods. I mean, it's just.
Rasha was a second round pick, wasn't he? Or no, Rasha was first round. Rasha was like late first round, I think.
Yeah, in 99, they did get Wally, and then they did take Will Avery 14th overall.
Oh, my God.
Ooh, that was such a whiff. Horrible. Mm. Yeah, Rasha was first. He was the 17th pick. And they took Andre Patterson in the second round that year.
I remember Andre Patterson.
He did some things. I don't think he's a great player, but he did things.
But I remember Andre Patterson more for his days in Indiana than I do with the Wolves.
Yeah, I think a lot of people do.
Yeah. And when I say Indiana, I mean the Indiana Hoosiers, not the Pacers. We had one more. Any other bad moves you can come up with?
No, I think 2011 covered a lot of them. Oh, yeah, no. MN Sports Jerk at MN Sports Account. Someone do the math on the probability of the Wolves missing the playoffs for 14 consecutive years. I have never been accused of being a math major. And so I floated that out to Twitter. Mm-hmm. I was like, hey, any math savvy people know the answer to this? America is not great at Timberwolves. There's 15 teams in the conference, 8 made the playoffs, assuming random 40.7% chance each year to miss. 47 divided by 14 is 0.007, if I'm figuring it right. Well, MN Sports Jerk goes, okay, I will. 14 out of 30 is 46.667% divided by 14 seasons times 100% is 0.00232. It's almost impossible for them to have missed the playoffs this much.
They had basically a 0.02% chance to miss the playoffs for 14 straight years.
Yeah. That's almost impressive.
And they've missed the playoffs 13 straight years.
Yes.
So they are this close to, if they miss the playoffs next year, it would be 14. Holy mother of God.
That's not great.
Oh, you know, like, this franchise, man, I tell you, they have had so many moments of just head scratchers and so many moments of giving you frustration, but for whatever reason, man, I've always just
onto our KG memories.
Yeah, I've had this love affair with them since I was 8 years old, man. I mean, it's wow.
Hey, some amazing. People smoke. Some people go to McDonald's every day. We all have our vices. I just think the funny thing, too, it's like when this team is just mediocre and not interesting, that's when I struggle to care. I'm just like, okay, whatever, fine. Mm-hmm. But when
those
this
con
team
years
is,
were those the early.
They were never dull.
Yeah. But the end of the McHale era was tough.
That was pretty bad.
That was really tough.
Like, there was no light at the end of the tunnel. I remember reading an ESPN season preview. Might have been for 07 or 08. And it was like, how do we know Kevin McHale isn't building a bridge to nowhere? Like, he made all these moves, and it's like, but does it matter? And it didn't matter.
Yeah. Once they moved Garnett and, they got Al Jefferson, which, okay, yeah, great. But
not holding out for Rondo.
Yep.
And trying to beat Danny Ainge at his own game. And I don't count that on the draft one because that happened July 31st. Mm-hmm. It was a full month after the draft.
Yeah. And we had brought this up before, but remember the year where Al Jefferson tore his ACL? They were actually playing, they were still a bad team, but they were playing better.
He was a monster, too.
Yeah, because McHale took over. He fired Randy Whitman and took over himself and started coaching. And
I don't think he took over. If I remember right, it was Glenn Taylor saying,
This is on you. This is your responsibility. You go coach the team. But yeah, they were starting to play pretty well, and then Al tears his ACL in New Orleans, and that was it.
He was just incredible in that stretch too. So yeah. Much fun. Nobody could stop him in that.
Yeah. Couple more. We got our last two here were from the same person from Library Ben. Talk about Dennis Smith Jr. He seems like the type of point guard Tibbs has loved in the past. Who else seems like a Tibbs guy? Isaac? Well, you know me. I love Dennis mm-hmm. Smith Jr.
That's my first thought was like, oh, Manny will do well with this question.
I love Dennis Smith Jr. Now, I know there's some concerns about he doesn't have a long wingspan. He's got shorter arms, so I think there's a little bit of a concern
there. As someone who's 6'3 with a 5'7 wingspan, yeah, I can relate.
So yeah, he's got a 6'3 wingspan. He's 6'3, which, you know, isn't great. It's not, I don't think it's horrible, but it's not great. So there is that concern, but I'm a big fan of him. I like the athleticism. I love the, he does kind of strike me as a Tibbs type of guy. Cause he kind of has a gunner mentality, and we've talked before about how Tibbs kind of likes point guards who are gunners and will look to kind of shoot first mm-hmm. and make plays for other guys.
Someone, I forget
second.
Who it was, compared him to pre-injury Derrick Rose.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, which is hard to say, like, oh, Dennis Smith's going to be an MVP within 3 years. But just someone who can play similarly stylistically, and we know that Tom Thibodeau's, you know, still fawns over Derrick Rose, and I think if that would keep him from actually signing the Derrick Rose, I might be okay with that.
Yeah, like if you're Tom Thibodeau and you're gonna go give Derrick Rose whatever money, then just draft Dennis Smith
or donate to charity. For the love of God, do not give it to Derrick Rose.
Yeah, but yeah, to answer your question, Library Ben, yes, I love Dennis Smith Jr. I don't, I love him. I won't be upset if the Wolves don't take him. But
seems like
he'd
be fun with running with LaVine and Wiggins.
Yeah. But I would be happy if they did take him. I won't be upset if they don't take him. So
I'm just reading on Draft Express here. I mean, just talking about just being more consistent in terms of his mentality and decision-making. He's not very vocal on the court, which might actually drive Thibs nuts. And the mm-hmm. chemistry and body language he demonstrated with teammates left a lot to be desired.
Yeah. Now, I will say in his defense, he was in a really awkward situation at NC State because they fired Mark Gottfried, like, I think like 15 games into the season. They fired him, and then like he coached the remainder of the season. So he was basically a lame duck coach, and the team itself wasn't very good.
See,
at
I think
all.
That stuff matters. I mean, just the environment that you're in.
Yeah.
If it's just a confusing and frustrating situation for everyone, there's a lot of uncertainty. I mean, I really hate comparing sports to life, but I think if you have that kind of tension in the workplace, you're not as effective as you would be.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if everything was harmonious and good, I think that stuff does matter.
Yeah.
But I mean, of course, too, he's young. He can learn. But I mean, I think if we have questions about like Andrew Wiggins now, and then are we just going to hear the same things about Dennis Smith? Because that might
right.
be exhausting.
Right. Yeah. Let's
Jonathan
see.
Simmons.
Yes.
Library Ben question number two.
Second Library Ben question. Also, should the Wolves go after Jonathan Simmons in free agency? Instant defensive improvement, but can't shoot. I like him. I like him too. I think the Spurs are going to keep him.
Yeah, and I mean, with you have a young guy like that who's already seen success.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm sure being around the Spurs, he appreciates that. And just I'm sure just being around other NBA guys who probably speak highly of the Spurs and their culture. Yep. I think that's going to be a tough sell to sway him from San Antonio.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I wouldn't be mad at it. I mean, he's not inexperienced. He has good experience, comes from a strong culture. And Tom Thibodeau loves stealing Spurs guys, so it wouldn't mm-hmm. surprise me.
And he does defend. So, I mean, we know Tom Thibodeau loves guys that are going to guard people.
You can also teach shooting. Most times, you can generally teach shooting.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, there you have it. Thank you, folks, for all your questions. Very good questions. I'm just skimming through here to make sure we didn't skip anybody or miss anything.
I felt like that was the last one.
Yeah. Yeah, it was the last one, yeah. So yeah, there we go. Thank you for your questions. All right. Should we do a quick mock draft?
Top 10?
Yeah, we'll just do top 10. We'll do it pretty quickly. Number one, I think Fultz is going there. I think the Celtics are going to take Fultz.
It'd be funnier if they took Lonzo Ball, though.
It would be. I think Lonzo's going to go two to the Lakers. What do you think?
You're not buying the Josh Jackson smokescreen?
Nope. Not one bit. I think Lonzo's got Lakers written all over him.
I think so, yeah. I mean, I like Jordan Clarkson. I don't think that stops you from taking him.
Right.
They do have to move one of him and D'Angelo Russell, and I think Russell is probably the more movable one at this point.
Yeah. Three, Philadelphia. Now, Draft Express has them taking Josh Jackson at three.
I'm going to disagree.
Yeah, I think they're going to take De'Aaron Fox.
I do, too.
They need more ball handlers. They need guard play. Now, Jackson can play. He can play the two.
But they don't have a point guard. Philly has all these wings and bigs.
Yeah.
They do not have a point guard.
Yeah. So, yeah, I think they're going to take De'Aaron Fox there. Four, Phoenix is interesting because if Fox is off the board, you're probably, if you're Phoenix, you're looking at Jackson, Tatum, or Isaac. Four. Phoenix. What seems like a Phoenix type of move? Jackson would seem to be the one to make sense there.
I don't know that Jackson gets to five. I just can't see that.
Yeah.
I think that would be a gift for him.
That would be a gift for Sacramento. You know what, though? I think Phoenix is going to take Tatum.
Think so?
I think they're going to take Tatum.
I'm going to play it safe. I'll say Jackson.
Okay. And then I think Sacramento is going to take Jackson.
Yeah, I think whoever doesn't go four goes five in that scenario.
Six, I think Orlando. I think Orlando will take Jonathan Isaac.
Yeah, the more I think about it, I mean, I just don't see him getting to seven.
Yeah.
I mean, if that's the way that it goes, the way that we have it, with one of Jackson Tatum going to Phoenix and Sacramento with De'Aaron Fox going to Philly,
mm-hmm.
It's just hard to see them not taking the Magic taking Jonathan Isaac.
Yeah, I would like to take Jonathan Isaac. I know he's a bit of a project, but I'd like the type of player that he could potentially be.
He seems like a player who could come along in February or March.
Yeah.
Maybe we don't see a lot of him early on, but maybe he comes along later in the season.
All right, and then we have seven, the Wolves.
Oh.
Draft Express has them taking Lauri Markkanen. I don't think they're going to take Lauri Markkanen.
I don't either.
He
is 20 years old, but, I mean, that's like 6 months older than a lot of these other guys.
Yeah.
That's not that much.
So if they don't take Markkanen, you're looking at Monk, Smith, Frank. I never know how to say Frank's last name, but you guys know who I'm talking about. He's from Belgium.
I'm torn. I mean, Monk or Smith?
Yeah, that's probably what you're looking at, Monk or Smith.
I mean, they're both the same size, mostly. Mm-hmm. I mean, Malik Monk is 6'4", with a 6'3.5 wingspan, so he's not playing up a position. He's more than likely going to be a shooting guard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because he's...
And this team needs shooting.
Yeah.
He doesn't need to be a star. He just needs to be able to hit shots.
Yeah. And he can get buckets for you.
This is tough.
Wow, it is tough, isn't it? I just don't think they'll take Markkanen.
I don't think they take another point guard either. I'm going to say Monk.
You're going to go Monk?
I'm not very confident in that, but I guess I wouldn't be mad at that. You figure out the fit later.
Yeah, I think...
Gives you Levine insurance a little bit.
I have a guess that they're going to take Monk. And then trade him.
Ooh, that's not bad.
Or trade the pick, and the pick ends up being Monk.
Draft for somebody else then?
Yeah. That's what I think is going to happen. That's my mock.
Well, the next...
For that spot.
What do the Knicks do? Because the next three are then point guards.
I think
two,
if Monk is gone, if Dennis Smith is there at eight, I think the Knicks will take Dennis Smith.
Unless they overthink it.
Yeah.
That's the thing. Like the thing that's enticing about Ntilikina?
I think that's how you say it, Ntilikina.
Is that, you know, the problem with like a lot of these foreign prospects, and it's gotten better in today's day and age, which is how much more globalized that scouting has gotten, but they still don't get to see these guys a lot. So there's always some trepidation in taking them too high, and are you sure that we've seen enough of them? And I don't. He hasn't really been able to come in for workouts because of his international commitments, I don't think.
Ntilikina makes me wonder if it's like Dante Exum 2.0.
Which is just foreign point guard?
Foreign point guard. He's 6'5", so we like his size. But, you know.
So he's absolutely a Nick. Yeah. Oh, wait, no, the Kings are 10, too, so that could happen.
I think the Knicks, I'll put Dennis Smith with the Knicks at 8. And then that would put Dallas. Then I think that would put Ntilikina with Dallas at 9.
Or do you think they go with like a Zach Collins?
Dallas?
Yeah, and get a replacement big. Mm. Someone to pair next to Nerlens Noel.
That's interesting.
Cubes does love his big men.
Yeah.
I'm going to say Zach Collins. Plus, we need to shake this up and just can't flip the order of the top 10.
You know, hell, I actually wouldn't be mad if the Wolves took Zach Collins at 7. I mean, it might be a little high to take him, but...
If he's your guy and with the, how much talent this team has right now, just do it.
Yeah, I like Zach. I actually like Zach Collins a lot. I watched him a little bit at Gonzaga. I liked him a lot. So then the Kings... Who would the Kings take then?
They couldn't take Markkanen. They couldn't take Markkanen, right?
Oh, they totally would take Markkanen. They would totally take Markkanen there at 10.
Book it.
Yeah. Oh, goodness.
That last one was just rude, but I don't think we have a lot of Kings people listening to this.
All right. That's our mock draft. Watch us be mostly wrong, probably except for I think we agree on the top two picks, and almost everybody thinks that it'll be Fultz and Ball.
Like, we weren't coming to blows over Tatum or Jackson.
Right, yeah.
Like, either way.
That'll do it for us this week. You can find us, of course, on iTunes, on podcastone.com, and, of course, 1500ESPN.com. Next week, we will be taping from Target Center after the Wolves. We'll start taping after the Wolves either make or trade that 7th pick. So stay tuned, and you'll get our reflections and our thoughts on what the Wolves did on draft night next week. For Derek James, I'm Manny Hill. Thanks for listening, and we will talk to you next week.